इसको बंद कर।
धृतराष्ट्र उवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुयुत्सवः मामका पांडवाश्चैव किमकुर्वत संजय धृतराष्ट्र उवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुयुत्सवः मामका पांडवाश्चैव किमकुर्वत संजय संजय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकं व्यूढं दुर्योधनस्तथा आचार्यमुपसंगम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् संजय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकं व्यूढं दुर्योधनस्तथा आचार्यमुपसंगम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् पश्यैतां पाण्डुपुत्राणाम् आचार्यमहतीं चमूं व्यूढां ध्रुपदपुत्रेण तव शिष्येन धीमता पश्यैतां पाण्डुपुत्राणाम् आचार्यमहतीं चमूं व्यूढां ध्रुपदपुत्रेण तव शिष्येन धीमताम् अत्र शूरा महेश्वासाः भीमार्जुनसमायुधि युयुद्धानो विराटश्च द्रुपदश्च महारथः अत्र शूरा महेश्वासाः भीमार्जुनसमायुधि युयुद्धानो विराटश्च द्रुपदश्च महारथः दृष्टकेतुश्चेकितानः काशीराजश्च वीर्यवान् पुरुजित्कुन्तिभोजश्च शैव्यश्च नरपुङ्गवः दृष्टकेतुश्चेकितानः काशीराजश्च वीर्यवान् पुरुजित्कुन्तिभोजश्च शैव्यश्च नरपुङ्गवः।
Bhagavad Gita literally means the song of the Lord, the song of Lord Krishna, which was sung on the battlefield of Kurukshetra when Arjuna had asked him as to what is my duty in the context. I am confused. I am not able to think clearly and come to the conclusion as to what is my duty. Whether it is to remain in the battlefield and fight the Kauravas, and of the Kauravas even Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of worship, they are also present there. So still, is it my duty to continue fight and even go to the extent of killing them to win the battle? Is that my dharma? Or is it my dharma to leave the battlefield and go? Because these noble people should not be killed. I am confused. So when a person lacked clarity and he realized that he lacks clarity and surrendered to the Lord for an answer, the Lord gave the Gita. Somebody who wanted to escape out of confusion was put back on track by Lord with the knowledge. So the study of Gita, if done sincerely, reflected upon, will provide that knowledge and clarity in life to be able to guide ourselves in the journey of life to reach the goal of life, which is the happiness within, the self within. Gita has 18 chapters, 701 verses. 701 verses totally. It starts with the word dharma and ends with the word mama. The message of the Bhagavad Gita is sandwiched between these two words, dharma and mama. The first verse of Gita is dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyotsavaha mamaka pandavaschaiva kimakurvata sanjaya, asks Dhritarashtra to Sanjaya. The word that starts the Gita is dharma. And the last verse is yatra yogeshwara krishnaha yatra parto dhanurdharaha tatra shi vijayo bhuti dhruvo nitir matir mamaha. The word that ends Gita is mama. So dharma, mama, between these two words the entire Gita is sandwiched. Dharma means nature, duty. Mama means my. What is my essential nature? That is what the primary message of Gita is. The primary message of the Upanishads is also the same. So, Gita is actually an essence of the Upanishads. So, Gita and Vedanta, which is Upanishad, one and the same. By following your duty, you go to attain moksha, liberation. You free yourself from the thraldom of samsara, the cycle of birth and death, and reach your original nature. So Gita will help you to find joy and happiness in this life. It will convert your life into a celebration. Also, it will take you slowly to the final, ultimate goal of realization. Every human being, according to the Shastras, is essentially divine, divinity, God Himself. But due to the ignorance, we do not know our real nature. Out of ignorance, there are so many desires that come out of us, and throughout our life, using the body, mind, and intellect, we are only trying to fulfill the desires. The more we fulfill, the more we develop desires. Never seem to be contented and happy. So happiness is not something that needs to be achieved outside, but it is our original nature. It needs to be understood by overcoming the desires. So Gita will help you fulfill the desire and overcome it as well. Rise beyond it and reach the self. Bhagavad Gita happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where both the Pandavas and Kauravas were assembled on either sides of the battlefield. Kauravas represent the evil tendencies in us, which are more in number. Kauravas are 100 brothers and they had 11 battalions. Pandavas are 5 brothers and they had 7 battalions. Totally 18 battalions were assembled there on the battlefield. 11 from the Kaurava side, 7 from the Pandava side. So the evil tendencies represented by the Kauravas are within us and they are more in number always compared to the positive tendencies. So this battle is going on within all the time. The battle between what I like and what I ought to do in the context. duty versus my desires. I know my duty is to eat the right kind of food. But my desire is to eat everything that is pleasant, not necessarily the right kind of food. Shreya and Priya. The evil tendencies want to fulfill the ego, satisfy the ego, and go towards what is pleasant in life. The good tendencies are telling us, go towards what is good for you, what brings you ultimate good, Shreya. So usually this fight is won by Priya, isn't it? We finally end up satisfying the pleasant things rather than doing what is to be done. All of us know what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. Sometimes the confusion may be there, but generally we know what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. Yet, the mind seems to overpower us and we do what we ought not to do, or we avoid doing what we ought to do. The study of Gita will intensify the awareness and increase the capacity of the intellect to think and discriminate further, whereby we will be able to stick to what we ought to do and avoid doing what we ought not to do. Just by doing what you ought to do and avoiding what you ought not to do itself, you can remain peaceful. And that peaceful mind will help you to further continue your sadhana and reach the ultimate goal of life, which is finding out who you essentially are. So this battle between Kauravas and Pandavas needs to be understood, that the battle is actually going on within us every day. And if we need to conquer the evil tendencies, we need to identify with Krishna within through the help of scriptures. On a daily basis, we need to study, reflect, understand, and thus slowly, slowly win the battle over the mind and go beyond the mind. So Bhagavad Gita actually starts off interestingly, if you see, with the question asked by Dhritarashtra, the blind king, to his charioteer Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra was a blind king, as you know. And he was so curious to know what is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Sage Vyasa had endowed the capacity to see what is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, though it was miles away from the palace in Hastinapura, to the charioteer of Dhritarashtra, who is Sanjaya. Sanjaya means one who is victorious over his own personality, senses. Jaya, victory, victory. Sanjaya means one who has victory over oneself. So Sanjaya deserved the boon from Sage Vyasa, and Sage Vyasa endowed it. So Dhritarashtra is curious to know. And it's very significant that Gita starts with the question from a blind person, in the sense, if the blind person also has the physical eye, but the physical eye does not have the capacity to see. A blind person, the physical eye is there on his face. It's not that that is missing. Somebody who cannot hear, he also has the physical ear, but he cannot hear. The capacity to hear is not there, even though the physical ear is there. Even though the physical eye is there, the capacity to see is not there. If you have the capacity to see, then you don't need the Gita. The problem is, we all of us have the intellect, yet we do not have the capacity to discriminate and see clearly as to how to function in this world, how to identify with Shreya all the time. So that is why it is very significant that it starts with the blind person asking the question. And also, when Dhritarashtra asks Sanjaya, then Sanjaya is telling as to what is happening on the battlefield. And then further when he continues, he says, confusion happened in Arjuna when he saw Bhishma, Drona and all these people. And then this question came to him, and he actually initially thought that it is better to leave the battlefield than to kill these people. But since he doesn't get any approval from his close friend Krishna, he slowly thought that maybe Krishna doesn't approve of this. And he surrenders to Krishna and asks him, what is right? What is good for me? I surrender to you. You are my guru. I am thy disciple. But this surrender happens in the second chapter. Only after Arjuna surrenders, Lord Krishna actually starts giving the Gita. So even though we say Gita starts from Dhritarashtra's question, actually the Gita starts from the 11th verse of chapter 2. After Arjuna surrenders completely. Knowledge is never given. It is always taken. So Krishna, even though he was an embodiment of knowledge, he never tries to force the knowledge on Arjuna. He was just keeping quiet, which enabled Arjuna to realize that he is ignorant, and that made him surrender and seek the knowledge. It needs to be taken. Only when he surrendered, the knowledge was born. So unless and until we develop that attitude while we study the Gita, we will also not gain that knowledge from Krishna, whatever he says. So with this background, let us begin the first chapter of the Gita. In the first chapter, you would find more psychology than philosophy. Little bit philosophy might be there here and there, but there is more of psychology. We'll chant verse number 1. Dhritarashtra uvacha, Dhritarashtra uvacha, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva, Kimakurvata Sanjaya, Kimakurvata Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra uvacha, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva, Kimakurvata Sanjaya. Uvacha means said, Dhritarashtra Uvacha. Dhritarashtra is the name of the blind king, the father of Kauravas. Also it means the king of the world. This could also be taken as a prayer before starting the Gita. So when you say king of the universe, even though in the context it may refer to the name of Duryodhan's father, actually the king of universe is Lord. So before you start any text, you invoke God. Not only text, anything. What is culture? That first we need to understand. You know, when you want to make curd, you have milk, you boil the milk and you bring it to lukewarm condition. But you need little curd to add to it and leave it overnight so that it can turn into curd. That little curd you borrow to add into that lukewarm milk, we call it as culture. Right? Culture means what? That which is added makes that good bacteria grow further. Right? So when anything that contributes to growth is culture. So whenever we are egoistic, that contributes to the fall, not to the growth. So the dissolution of ego is culture. That contributes to the growth. So when we begin anything, we have to dissolve the ego, so we invoke the Lord. So anything that we do, we should do it with prayerful attitude. So you can say for that reason also, Gita is begun with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, the blind king. The blindness here signifies the attachment that he has to his children. Attachment is blind. He is terribly attached to his children, Kauravas, Duryodhana and his brothers. Pandu, who was the brother of Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra could not see, Pandu was made the king and he was ruling. He died in between. So Dhritarashtra was kind of a caretaker king till the children grow up. The Pandavas, and the kingdom was supposed to be handed over to the eldest of the Pandavas, Yudhishthir. Duryodhan had the jealousy. Just because my father was born blind, he could not become the king. If he had become the king, then I would be the one who would be the next king. So this was bothering him, and he was always growing up with jealousy towards the Pandavas. And Dhritarashtra was terribly attached to his sons. When his brother died and his brother's sons came to him, he becomes their father. But he doesn't see it that way. He had attachment to his sons. And because of his attachment, he feeds the jealousy, he feeds the likes and dislikes of Duryodhan. And that is what led them to this battlefield. And in this verse, when Dhritarashtra is asking the question to Sanjaya, even there you can clearly see the attachment that Dhritarashtra has. In life, what destroys us is our attachment. World as it is absolutely fine. There is nothing wrong in the world created by God, if at all it was created. World as it is, it's fine. People as they are fine. Objects as they are fine. But it is our attachment to the objects and beings of this world that creates problem. The beginning of all problems, if you go deeply, it is attachment, and that attachment is due to ignorance. And ignorance can only be conquered through knowledge. If a person had knowledge, he will not be attached. If he is not attached, the world will not be a source of sorrow. It will be a source of joy. So here, Dhritarashtra's blindness signifies his attachment, and attachment was the root cause of all the problems. If only Dhritarashtra did not have the attachment, he would have controlled Duryodhana from the beginning. If he had controlled Duryodhana from the beginning, then the situation itself wouldn't have come. So if you go deeply, the message given here in this verse is that if you do not take care of your attachment, which is coming from your ignorance, you will lead yourself to destruction. Nobody outside is the reason for your downfall except your own attachment. If you are feeling suffocated, disillusioned, devastated, it is because of your own attachment and ignorance. Nobody else is the cause. Vedanta says, you make yourself, you mar yourself. You are the architect of your fortune, you are the architect of your misfortune. If you had knowledge, you will make yourself. If you had ignorance, you will mar yourself. You can point fingers at others and say, because of that person, because of this person, my life is spoiled. But it is not because of anybody but my own ignorance and attachment. So the question that Dhritarashtra asks Sanjaya is, assembled on the sacred field of Kurukshetra, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha Mamaka Pandavaschaiva Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. Assembled on the sacred field of Kurukshetra, desirous to fight, What did the sons of Pandu and Main do, O Sanjaya? So the question is, what did the sons of Pandu and Main? There is a separation that has happened internally. All the external separations come from internal separations. All wars have actually happened within. Inside there is already hatred. Right? So by trying to fix things externally, you cannot bring about permanent solution. You can probably bring about temporary solution. It is impossible to bring about permanent solution by just solving issues externally. The issue is actually mental. When there is bacteria inside, because of which there is a lot of boils that has come on your skin, by applying certain ointments on the skin, you can probably remove the symptoms, but the bacteria are inside. They will again come back in some other place in the body. So you need to solve it internally. All the methods that we gain from the so-called knowledge in the outside world is only trying to solve the issues externally, not internally. But Gita tells us that unless and until you go deep inside and solve it, your external problems manifest in different times in different ways. It doesn't go completely. So when he said, what did the sons of Pandu and Main do, you can clearly see the attachment and difference that is there in Dhritarashtra's mind. So, as I pointed out to you, if you see here, Gita starts with the word Dharma. Gita is a Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra tells us that by following Dharma, by protecting Dharma, you allow the Dharma to protect you. Every country has its own law. By living, abiding by the laws of that country, you get protected by the laws of that country. The regime of any country is not against any individual. If you abide by the law, you can live peacefully in that country. If you don't abide by the law, then you will be punished. So it is not the country that is punishing you, but your own actions. There is a saying in English, none can break the law, one can only break oneself against the law. None can break the law, one can only break oneself against the law. There is law of gravity functioning. If I understand that, by respecting that law of gravity, I enjoy living in this life. If I say, hell with the law of gravity, I don't believe in these things, and jump from 10th floor, I'll break my bones. So Dharma protects those who protect Dharma. So Gita tells us, at any given point of time, you should never leave Dharma. It is only a loss to you. It is not a loss to Dharma. Dharma is not dependent on us. We are dependent on Dharma. Law is not dependent on us. We are dependent on the law. If I don't respect the law, then I am the one who is going to suffer. So therefore, I understand the value of Dharma and live as per Dharma. Let my convert my life into dharmic. Sadharan dharma is what? I expect others not to hurt me. I expect others to speak sweetly to me. I expect others to give me freedom. I don't like if somebody puts me into a prison. Isn't it? I need freedom. if I am expecting this, then the dharma, simple dharma tells us that I must do the same thing to others. I'm sure they will also have the same kind of expectations. They will also not like somebody hurting them. So I should not hurt them. Whatever I say should not be hurtful. I should also give them freedom. I should also live my life in such a way that it gives happiness to the other person. Because I am expecting the same from the other person. So then, by living such a life, I am leading dharmic life. If not, I will say, no, my freedom is essential. So everybody else is there only to serve me. They should give me freedom, but they should be bound to me. Then I am giving into the ways of my ego, which is against dharma. Giving into the ways of ego might seem pleasurable and pleasant in the beginning, but ultimately it will lead us to destruction. So the dharma kshetra, our own personality, which is supposed to be peaceful, has turned into a kurukshetra, a battlefield. Has turned into a kurukshetra because of our attachments and aversions, likes and dislikes. Because of that, it has become a field of restlessness today. A human being who is supposed to be peaceful because his original nature is peaceful. Original nature is peace. He is divinity. But giving himself into attachments and aversions, he has brought about restlessness to himself. So this dharma kshetra has turned into a kurukshetra. Also, if you look at it from a different angle, kurukshetra, the battlefield, was called as dharma kshetra because on the battlefield, the soldiers are doing their duty, even though it happens to be fighting and killing, but they are doing their duty. So when they do their duty, they are dissolving their ego and functioning there, therefore that turns into a dharma kshetra. So any kshetra, any field, your house will become dharma kshetra if you do your duty. If each one of us will do what our duty is in the context, then that will become dharma kshetra. Otherwise, it will actually become kurukshetra, fighting. When the ego is dissolved by the husband and wife and they both function by dissolving the ego, then the life, married life, the field of marriage for them will be dharma kshetra. Otherwise it will become kurukshetra. It's as simple as that. So, assembled on the battlefield of kurukshetra, sacred field of kurukshetra, desire has to fight. They've all gone there fully prepared to fight. I am curious to know what is happening between Pandavas and my sons. Oh Sanjaya, please tell me. Attachment, blindness is always curious. Right? That curiosity is there. Everybody is talking about Gita, Gita, Gita. What is it, Gita? Let me also learn. Because of your curiosity, we have started the Gita class. So this curiosity in Dhritarashtra, wanting to know what happened, now Sanjaya is reporting to him as to what actually happened in the battlefield. Sanjaya uvacha, Sanjaya uvacha, drishtvatu pandavanikam, drishtvatu pandavanikam, vyudam duryodhanastatam, Yudam Duryodhanastadha Acharyamupasanghamya Acharyamupasanghamya Rajavachanamabhravet Sanjaya uvacha Drishtvatu Pandavanikam Yudam Duryodhanastadha Acharyamupasanghamya Raja Vachanam Abhraved. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, indeed, having seen the army of the Pandavas arrayed in battle, King Duryodhana then approached the teacher and spoke these words. Sanjaya is saying, Duryodhana approached Drona on the battlefield. After seeing the Pandavas arrayed on the battlefield, he approaches Drona. Who is Drona? Teacher. When you approach the teacher, you don't approach as a king. When you approach a teacher, you approach as a student, shishya. But by seeing Duryodhana's body language, and what is interesting here is, Duryodhana is not the king. Dhritarashtra is the king. But his walk was saying the arrogance inside Duryodhana that he was trying to hide. See, I was told when our ex-president Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma went visiting Muscat, Oman, many years ago, the Omani king drove the car himself personally to receive him. Became a big news in the Middle East. Personally, he drove the car and went to the airport to receive the President of India. You know what was the reason? His Highness Sultan Qaboos is supposed to have studied in Mumbai in a college where Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma used to give lectures to him, to the students. So he said, my teacher is coming, so I should go myself driving to receive. The bhavana, what we need to see here is the bhavana. When you approach the guru, what is the bhav? Always remember, it is not enough doing the right action, but right action in the right bhav. Many times we feel, I'm doing the right thing, still I'm not getting the result. Why? Because my bhav is not right. You are speaking the truth, but what about the bhav? You're saying something logical, but is there bhav there? You say, I love you. Instead of love happening in the other person, they'll run away from you. Say, what is this fellow? You understand? You are saying, I love. But there's a bhav that should come with it. So here, indeed, having seen the army of the Pandavas arrayed in battle, King Duryodhana, from the body language you can know. So Sanjaya is speaking from the body language of Duryodhana and says, King Duryodhana then approached the teacher and spoke these words. In fact, truly speaking, when you go to your teacher, you can ask the questions and whatever, but you should allow the teacher to speak. But if you speak more, teacher is not going to be affected by that, but that's not the right way. Here Duryodhan goes and speaks. He goes and tries to show as if he is talking without any arrogance or anything, but from the body language you can see that he is trying to betray his vanity and fear. What did he speak? He continues, Pashyaitam Pandu Putranam, Pashyaitam Pandu Putranam, Acharya Mahatim Chamum, Acharya Mahatim Chamum, Vyudam Drupada Putrena, Vyudam Drupada Putrena, Tavashishyena Dhimata, Tavashishyena Dhimata, Pashyaitam Pandu Putranam, Acharya Mahatim Chamum, Vyudam Drupada Putrena, Tavashishyena Dhimata. Behold, O teacher, this mighty army of the sons of Pandu. See, when he says sons of Pandu, you can clearly see the distance that has happened at the mental level. Right? The distance is, usually people say, oh, that far. That far, the distance is more in your mind actually. If you are really interested in the subject, and you know that Swami has come and is speaking, it's a good opportunity for you. You won't mind driving even 1 hour, 2 hours to go and learn. If you are really not at all interested, even if the lectures are happening next door to your house, you will still not go. Right? So, the distance you can clearly see in Dhritarashtra's mind and Duryodhana's mind here. He says, this mighty army of the sons of Pandu. Oh teacher, see this mighty army. In fact, Kaurava army was much larger than the Pandava army. Kaurava had 11 aksharanis. Still, Duryodhana could not digest the fact that Pandavas could collect 7 battalions. Still, there are people who can support Pandavas. So he could not digest that. Arrayed for battle by the son of Drupada. It's very interesting. Drupada actually studied with Dronacharya in Gurukul. They both went to the same school. Later on, actually Drupada was a king. So he goes back to rule his kingdom. So once Drona approaches, goes to Drupada's kingdom, to his palace, thinking that, you know, we study together, so Drupada will welcome, and he just went with such thoughts. But Drupada said, "Arey, we could have studied maybe long time ago in the same school, but I am the king now, send him back." You know, that irritated Drona, and he wanted to take revenge. That's how the story goes. So by telling Drupada's name, he is trying to induce the anger in Drona. Because he knows, whatever said and done, Dronacharya's favorite pupil is Arjun. You understand? So he wants to create this in Dronacharya's mind, so that he would be fully with the Kauravas and fight the battle. So arrayed for the battle by the son of Drupada. Son of Drupada, Drishtadyumna, was the commander-in-chief of Pandava army. Kaurava army's commander-in-chief for the first 10 days was Bhishma. Only then Drona comes as commander-in-chief, and after that Karna comes. So here the commander-in-chief of Pandava army was Drishtadyumna. So he says the commander-in-chief of Pandava army has arrayed this way. Look at it. It can look as if he is talking objectively, but he is trying to put this in such a way that it creates that emotion in Drona. And then he stings him with sarcasm by saying, "You are wise pupil." Because Drishtadyumna was also taught by Drona only. See, you taught that fellow, and now that fellow has arranged the army in front of you like this. So he is stinging with sarcasm, subtly. So behold, O teacher, this mighty army of the sons of Pandu, arrayed for battle by the son of Drupada, you are wise people. So, clearly you can see when Duryodhan speaks, the inner frustration coming out. So much of inner frustration is coming out. In fact, when you allow a person to speak and become an observer objectively, you will be able to understand his psychology. When people go to psychiatrists, it is psychiatrists and psychologists, it is the people who speak more. He allows him to speak. He just listens. By listening, he knows what is happening in their mind. How do you know what is going through in somebody's mind unless you allow them to express? If you allow them to express, then you will you are all sitting and listening. Now, to me it looks like you are all listening. I don't know if you are thinking somewhere. It's possible. So when we have interaction, when we have questions, when we have discussions, and when you speak about what you understood, then I actually know how much you listen and digest. Isn't it? So all the exams in the world are only for this reason. They are not trying to examine you, but it is an examination for yourself to know how much I have understood, how much I am able to express. Because when we listen, it always looks like I've grasped everything. When we put it back, only then we know how much we actually understood. So you must try to summarize what you understood from every verse in your own words, with as little words as possible. So after you do this class here every Tuesday, when you study at home, I suppose you do that, when you do that study at home, you try to bring the message that is conveyed in that verse in points. If you have your own notes, you write down in points. Maybe 2 points, 3 points, whatever comes. That way, if you start doing it from today, you will get the entire Gita into you. See, that is our primary idea. Not just go through Gita. We can go through Gita, but whether the Gita has gone through us, that is more important. And if that has to happen, then we need to do this exercise of doing the summary of every verse. And it will be easier for you if you do it in the immediate week. 3 or 5 or how many ever verses we finish. If you can summarize within that week, then you are ready for the next class. You know, thus slowly you will digest the entire Gita. And only a person who has digested the food is healthy. Not one who has not digested. He could have eaten, but he cannot remain healthy unless he has digested it. So our focus should be in digesting it. Atra Shura Maheshwasaha. Atra Shura Maheshwasaha. Bhimarjuna Samayudhi. Bhimarjuna Samayudhi. Yuyuddhano Viratascha. Yuyuddhano Viratascha. Drupadascha Maharataha. Drupadascha Maharataha. Atra Shura Maheshwasaha. Bhimarjuna Samayudhi. Yuyuddhano Viratascha. Drupadascha Maharataha. Here are the heroes, mighty archers, equal in battle to Bhima and Arjuna. Arjuna was skillful in the art of archery. He was known for his concentration and skill. And Bhima was known for physical strength. You understand? It was a lethal combination. Bhima and Arjuna. Physically, Bhima was so powerful that he can uproot a huge tree and fight even if he did not have any weapons. That sort of a physical strength Bhima had. And Arjuna was so dexterous, skillful. So it was a combination. That was the Pandava army. So he says, here are the heroes, mighty archers, equal in battle to Bhima and Arjuna. They were not any less. It looks as if Duryodhana is a great soul talking nice about the opposition as well. But that's not actually his mental frame. He's trying to hide it and then talk as if he is such a person. Yuyuddhana Virata, the Maharata Drupada. See, you will see so many names being rattled off. If you really want to know each and everybody and all that, then when you read the Mahabharata story, you will come to know. Generally, we say in the class, you must study these stories, Puranas as well. That helps. Like, There are so many people who had written on Mahabharata, Ramayana, Bhagavatam and all that. But we recommend Kamala Subramanyam's Bhagavatam, Ramayana and Mahabharata. It is published by Bharati Vidya Bhavan. If you go to KG Mark, Bharati Vidya Bhavan, I'm sure it's available. Or you can go to any of the bookshops, I'm sure it's available. So if you read the story of Mahabharata, Ramayana and Bhagavatam, you will get all these, you will become familiar with all these names and all that. That's not important here. So we will not get into the details, but sometimes maybe we'll talk about one or two personalities. But otherwise he's just Bharati Vidya Bhavan. Kamala Subramanyam is the author. She's written on Ramayana, Mahabharata and Bhagavatam, three different books. So, you know, it's a casual reading you can do, and you can also get into the story. The story itself has a lot of message for us, you know, and it keeps us into that bhav. So he's saying, Yudhana Satyaki. See, Arjuna could wield his weapons with same prowess using both the hands. If he started using right hand, he could use left hand, but he will be as powerful as he was while he was using his right hand. He was dexterous, ambidextrous. So, that kind of capacity, even the Yadava chief Satyaki had. Satyaki was a very close friend of Krishna. And he also was as good as Arjuna. It's like in today's context, you say, Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, Djokovic, like that. Each one, you know, when you take up all these top 10 people, people can have different opinions. Somebody can say Nadal is the best, somebody can say Federer is the best. But they're more or less same. On that day, whose intellect is able to control their mind better wins. You understand? On that particular day, if somebody is more attached to the cup, he will lose. If he's relaxed, you know, once when, I think his name was Stitch. He played against Boris Becker and he won the match. He won the Wimbledon. He was also from Germany. I think probably that's the only Wimbledon he won. After the match, when Stitch spoke, he said, listen, I had nothing to lose against Becker. Becker was my hero. If I lose, it's okay. I've lost to somebody whom I worship. So I just played casually. But that was not the case with Becker. So he lost the match. You understand? So, each one has some... They're all same at that level, you know. But on that day, whose mind is more calm, who is able to apply himself better, whose intellect is able to control the mind, they win. So these are different names he gives. Virata, Maharata, Drupada, all these people. Drupada was again, we mentioned, he is the king of Panchala, who was the father of Draupadi and Drishyadyumna, and also who studied with Drona in the Gurukula. Verse number 5. Drishta ketus chekitanaha, Drishta ketus chekitanaha, Kashirajasya viryavan, Kashirajasya viryavan, Purujit kunti bhojascha, Purujit kunti bhojascha, Shaibhyascha narapungavaha, Shaibhyascha narapungavaha, Drishta ketus chekitanaha, Kashirajasya viryavan, Purujit kunti bhojascha, Shaibhyascha narapungavaha. Drishtaketu, the son of Sishupala, Chekitana and the valiant king of Kashi, Purujit, Kunti, Bhoja and Shaibya, the best of men. He is giving some more names. He says, all these people, the best of men. Best of men in the sense, they're all great warriors. All of these people are assembled. They've all come. If you get into the story, what is interesting to see is they are all related to each other. Right? They are all related to each other. Your enemies are not outside, not to be taken as they are part of your relatives. What we need to understand is they are within yourself. Your enemies are within yourself. If you take this universe, today they talk about this global warming and all that, right? Global warming that human beings talk about is brought about by human beings only, no? So if you say global warming is dangerous for us, what is happening is dangerous for us. There is this DVD called Inconvenient Truth, brought about by Al Gore, right? So all this talking about global warming, who is doing it? People who belong to our own species, human species. It's not animals. In fact, everyone except human species, all other species, they are functioning according to nature. Keeping in tandem with nature. It is only human being who can make or destroy this world. We, through our using our intellect, the so-called intellect, we invent all sorts of destructive things and we destroy each other. Basically, today, if you see, the contributions of science should be for the welfare of everybody. But unfortunately, in many cases, it's the other way around. It is used for destruction. So, enemy is not outside. Enemy is within us only. That is why I am saying, all these names that he is rattling off, they are all related to each other. So what do we understand from this? We are supposed to understand that the enemy is not outside us. It's within us, our own mind. The evil tendencies are there in each one of us sitting. If we really do not take care of that, then that will destroy us. Only you can help yourself, only you can destroy yourself, nobody else. If you say, others by their stinging words hurt me, others by their stinging words are able to hurt you because you have allowed them to hurt you. If you did not allow them, if you had the capacity to hear it through one ear and leave it through the other, then you had not given them the capacity to hurt you. It is your allowing that has enabled them to hurt you. Once when Lord Buddha was walking along with his disciples, some villagers were hurling abuses at him. But Lord Buddha was just walking casually ahead. The disciples were all agitated. How can they talk about like this about our guru? They were so agitated and they approached Lord Buddha and said, "Sir, please give us permission. We would like to finish them off. We are all restless." He said, "See, it is their privilege to offer abuses. But it is my privilege to say yes or no. I said no thanks. They offered me something. I said no thanks. But you people seem to have taken it by saying yes, give it to me. Now that you have taken it, you suffer." So when somebody behaves in a particular way, it is his nature. That is what he can offer and that is what he is offering. Each one can only offer what they can offer, what they have, what they are full of. So if somebody is hurling abuses at you, that only shows that that is what they are full of. You only give to somebody what you are full, right? What you feel you are lacking, you would be engaged in getting that more into you, not giving it. So if you are giving love, that means you are full of love. If you are giving abuses, that means you are full of that. And that is what his nature is, he is giving. Why you don't exercise the choice by saying yes, give it to me, or no, thank you? If you said yes, give it to me, then you have taken it. So you will have to suffer or go through the consequences. So please remember, our enemy is not outside, within us. If our discrimination is alert throughout, we will make sure that the enemy within cannot wag the tail. If not, the enemy within will take over and destroy us. So Duryodhana is going and introducing all these people on both the sides and says they are all great men, people of good character. He's trying to project as if he's praising them. But deep inside he feels why these people had gone that side. It will be better if they were all here.
Yudhamanyuscha vikrantah utamaujascha viryavan saubhadro draupadeyascha sarva eva maharataha yudhamanyuscha vikrantah उत्तमौजाश्च वीर्यवान् सौभद्रो द्रौपदेयाश्च सर्व एव महारथाः.
And mighty Yudhamanyu and brave Uttamauja, Saubhadra and Draupadeya, all indeed Maharathas, great chariot warriors. All these people could command thousands of bowmen. That was their capacity. Each one of them were leaders. All of them are great leaders. This war is full of high profile leaders. That's what he's saying. Saubhadra is the son of Subhadra. Subhadra is the sister of Krishna and wife of Arjuna. The son of Subhadra, Arjuna, is who? Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is a great hero. He was a very, very young boy, absolutely brave, not at all afraid. He was even acclaimed to be more brave and powerful than Arjuna. You understand? While he was in his mother's womb, he had heard the technique of entering the vyug, but it was only half that he heard. He did not hear how to exit. So in this story we understand what they are trying to communicate to us is, while the child is in the womb, what the mother listens to, what the mother thinks about, everything seems to have an effect on the child. So, you know, this is a science. So our forefathers, our ancestors, our sages had this science, which today the modern science seems to endorse. And Abhimanyu had this knowledge. And later on, once the war begins, when he enters the vyug and he was not able to exit, these people take to adharma and kill him. They don't kill him through dharmic ways. Duryodhana, all these Kauravas, all these people, they kill Abhimanyu in an adharmic way, not in a dharmic way. So this name Abhimanyu is a very inspiring name, and also it reminds us of that science. You know, see, please understand, the Hindu culture values only internal things, not external. Whether you smile externally or not is immaterial. Whether internally there is love supporting that smile, that is material, that matters. Please understand, what is Hindu culture? Hindu culture only values that which is internal, not external. Every time you say, I am a Hindu, you are a Hindu to the extent you value the inside, not outside. But is that the case with us? How do you choose your friends? How do you collect your friends? Is it based on his bank balance or character? How do you say a person is beautiful? Is it by the looks or by the values that the person practices? So you are a follower of Hindu Dharma when you are deep inside. You have value only for the inside and not the outside. You go all the way up to Balaji, stand in the queue, all that. If you are a true devotee, you will close your eyes, having gone there. Otherwise, you will not. Isn't it? So, the real value is inside us, the Atman, God, Self. All these things externally are only a practical, or only for practical usage. Nothing is going to come with us. Nothing came with us. All of us were born naked. When you die, everything will be taken, and only then you will be cremated or buried, whatever. Right? So you come naked, you go naked. What have you brought? Nothing. What are you going to take? Nothing. But only thing that is always there with you is that Atman. So truly speaking, what is really valuable is that Atman. If you really understand this, then you will practically use everything that has been provided to you at the physical level, at the external level, at the outside level. But deep inside, you will continue with the search and value only for Atman. All the relationships, your friendships, everything will be based on the inner characters, not just the external manifestation. Like Shakespeare says, one may smile and yet be a villain. That is probably why in all the Bollywood movies, the villains laugh the most. We do not know. But if you see, one can portray a picture of a Dharmatma outside. But deep inside, he can be terribly vicious. In fact, when Ravana came to take away Mother Sita, in what form did he come? As a sadhu. You understand? He came as sadhu. He disguised himself as sadhu. But the person sitting inside the sadhu was actually an asura. This is the beast, truly speaking, who is a demon? A demon is one who is an hypocrite. Demon need not have horns, tooth protruding and all sorts of things. Nothing like that. He can be a beautiful looking person, but a hypocrite. So what is truly valuable should be valued. So he says, he is not saying all these things, but he is not meaning all these things. He just says they are all great men, great warriors. They are very good character. Shakespeare also says, you must watch your character. Give your ears, but few thy tongue, few thy voice. speak little, listen more. Take care of your character. Character is more important. So if you see in Hindu Dharma, thought is given more value. Thoughts. The idea is, as you think, so you become. So when we study about Abhimanyu story, this is something that comes to my mind again. That is why I am mentioning here. The mother was having the thought of, you know, listening to the Puranic stories and this. Same thing happened in Prahlada's story also. Thoughts of the mother and what the mother is listening to, everything seems to influence the child and influences you also. So 24/7, what are you, what thoughts are you vibrating with? That matters. So take care of your thoughts. That's very, very important. Draupadeyaya means five sons born to Draupadi and to each of the Pandavas. Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva. Draupadi was married to all the five. So each son born to Draupadi. Five sons. So all these people from different age groups are all there. The entire family clan, different age groups are there. It's like election is going on. Announcement is anybody who is 18 and above can vote. So everybody are there. It's not 70% polling or 50% polling. 100% polling. Everybody who had turned 18 and everybody who is alive beyond 18, whatever age that may be, everybody is there. That's what we need to understand. It was a final showdown where everybody had come. Some had come supporting the Kauravas, some had come supporting the Pandavas. It was kind of a world war. Everybody is there. There was no one left out. We'll see the rest of the verses next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.